New York Governor Andrew Cuomo now says that his marijuana legalization bill will allow for cannabis products to be delivered. Ignoring the obvious pot on wheels joke, this actually has significant implications because it allows for a lower cost opportunity to enter the industry, meaning it wouldn't be just for rich people. Still, his bill has to square with another challenge, getting lawmakers to agree.
I'm hopeful that we can come to an agreement and we can get it done. But I believe, because I've seen this movie before, if we don't get it done by April 1, we won't get it done.
Legislative leaders want to spend a large share of tax revenue from cannabis in communities where the state's drug laws have been disproportionately enforced.
Cuomo appears to be on board. In addition to setting aside $100 million to be reinvested in these communities for job training, housing, and legal services for those released from incarceration, it also reduces criminal penalties for illegal sales. This is another concession Cuomo has made to make the decriminalization of cannabis more socially equitable. This is C19, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut-New York region.
Coming up, Nassau County submits its final draft plan on police reform, bipartisan support of a veterans program in New York, and Cuomo hits back on nursing home policies.
I'm Charles Lane.
And I'm Sabrina Garone.
Nassau County Police made changes to its state-mandated reform plan and submitted it to lawmakers for approval. The changes incorporate some 90 comments from public input sessions, but it ignores the larger issues that reformers have spent the last 4 months fighting for. Nassau Police added 85 pages to its first self-authored Police Reform and Reinvention Plan. The most significant additions include public disclosure of 911 statistics, disclosure reports for when officers use language assistance technology, and more mental health interaction training for cops. The new changes ignore the large issues that caused many advocates to quit the county's reform groups in protest. The document says it would consider a civilian complaint review board, but then it goes on to justify the department's current policy. Police will offer training on pretextual stops, not get rid of them entirely. Also, instituting unarmed traffic stops was not included. Advocates say the current system of policing disproportionately harms Black communities. They want to see less interaction with police. This philosophy was also not included in the reform plan. Nassau lawmakers are expected to begin considering the plan at its general meeting on Monday. Reformers are expected to publish a counterproposal in the coming days.
Every year, New York State lawmakers on both sides of the aisle press the state to release funding to veterans organizations for a peer support program. This year's plea comes with a request that the funding become a permanent part of the budget. Allison Dunn has more.
The Joseph P. Dwyer Veterans Peer Support Project began in Suffolk County as a pilot program in 2012, providing peer-to-peer support and counseling to veterans and their families.
I, too, have lost more friends due to post-traumatic stress than I have lost friends who have died overseas in combat. And this program saves lives. It saves jobs. It saves families.
Republican Congressman Lee Zeldin from Suffolk County helped launch the program as a state senator.
New York is setting the standard and the model for the rest of the country to follow.
The call from Zeldin and others is to release the 2020 Dwyer funds allocated to veteran organizations last year, but not yet distributed. Democratic State Senator John Brooks from Long Island chairs the Committee on Veterans Homeland Security and Military Affairs.
Everybody in the legislature understands the importance, and it's virtually criminal that we have to go through this practice each year of begging, if you will, to put the money back.
Brooks says the funding should be released at any moment, but hopes they're not all back again next year because by then the funding is part of the veterans' budget. The Joseph Dwyer Peer Support Program is now in more than 24 counties across New York. Joseph Dwyer served in Iraq in the Army, was featured on the cover of Time magazine, Rescuing an Iraqi Boy. In 2008, he died of an apparent drug overdose.
Coming up, Cuomo and assemblymen and nursing homes and nail salons. There is a connection. But first, headlines and a message from C19's supporter.
Support for C19 comes from Hartford Healthcare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
The 7-day COVID-19 positivity rate in Connecticut has fallen to 2.5%. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont says frontline essential workers and those with underlying conditions will be the next groups to be vaccinated in the state. Lamont is expected to make an announcement next week with a timeline for appointments starting next month.
On Long Island, the 7-day positivity rate dipped to 4.5%. The rest of New York remained steady at 3.7%. One more state-run mass vaccination center has opened on the Selden campus of Suffolk County Community College. New Yorkers 65 and older and those 16 and up with underlying health conditions can book an appointment online or through the state's I Am Eligible app or over the phone.
In a unanimous decision, a federal court rejected arguments from police unions that hoped to block the release of police disciplinary records. The unions claimed officers would suffer irreparable harm by the release and face heightened danger on the job. The decision affirms a lower court decision that upheld the legislative repeal of what's commonly called 50A, the statute that kept police misconduct records from the public since the 70s.
A bill in the Connecticut General Assembly would make housing a right for all residents in the state. Advocates say the bill wouldn't mandate immediate measures, but it could affect evictions, foreclosures, and zoning policies that are considered exclusionary. The most recent annual count found just over 2,900 homeless people in Connecticut as of last year, and nearly two-thirds of Connecticut residents spend at least half their income on rent, according to the ACLU of Connecticut.
After several days on defense, Cuomo has launched an attack on one of the critics of his nursing home policies, Assemblyman Ron Kim, who lost his uncle to COVID-19 in a nursing home. As Karen DeWitt reports, Cuomo says Kim's disagreements over nursing home policies is really about an old feud over a bill to regulate nail salons.
Cuomo has come under increasing fire for his administration's decision to withhold for months the true number of the 15,000 nursing home residents and other older adults in long-term care who died of the coronavirus. On Wednesday, in a phone briefing with reporters, he turned the tables on one of his critics. The governor singled out Assemblyman Ron Kim, a Queens Democrat whose uncle died of COVID in April in a nursing home in Flushing. It was one of the areas hardest hit by the virus when New York was at the epicenter of the pandemic.
There's been a long hostile relationship with Assemblyman Kim.
Cuomo says Kim's attacks are really about a dispute the two had over the regulation of abuses in nail salons in New York City several years ago. He accused Kim of a pay-to-play scheme, saying he took campaign contributions from nail salon owners who resisted the reforms.
I do believe Ron Kim acted unethically, if not illegally. I do believe he has a continuing racket where he raises money from the owners of the salons who opposed the salon bill.
A published report at the time questioned Kim's change of heart when he opposed the reforms he had initially supported, but no instances of wrongdoing were found. Kim is the assembly sponsor of a bill to strip Cuomo of his wide-ranging emergency powers granted to him by the legislature at the start of the pandemic in March. He is also among a growing number of bipartisan legislators who are seeking an independent investigation of the withholding of the nursing home death numbers. He penned a letter, along with 9 other Democratic lawmakers, that accused the governor and his staff of obstructing justice. Cuomo's chief of staff, Melissa DeRosa, said in a private meeting with Democratic lawmakers that they delayed answering legislators' requests for the data because they froze after a federal Justice Department inquiry. The lawmakers also questioned whether there is a relationship between campaign donations from for-profit nursing homes to Cuomo and his decision early in the pandemic to grant the homes immunity from prosecution for anything that might go wrong. Cuomo says he's making his accusations against the assemblyman because Kim attacked him first.
I obstructed justice, says Assemblyman Kim and several other legislators. That's a lie.
Assemblyman Kim, in a statement, stood by his accusations, saying, "The governor can smear me all he wants." But Kim says the nursing homes who donated $1.25 million to the governor's campaigns benefited from Cuomo's policies. Kim also told the New York Times that in a private phone call with the governor on February 11th, Cuomo promised to publicly destroy him if Kim did not cease his criticisms on the nursing home controversy. Cuomo, in the briefing, was asked when the ban on visitors at nursing homes might be lifted. The governor announced that amusement parks and other family entertainment venues could be reopened on March 26th and that summer camps would be allowed to hold programs beginning in June. But State Health Commissioner Dr. Howard Zucker says nursing homes will remain off limits for now because residents are more at risk of death from the disease.
I recognize it's been very hard on the relatives of those who are in nursing homes, and as soon as we feel is safe, we move forward to the appropriate ways to get visitors there.
Zucker and other top aides to Cuomo blamed in part the nursing home staff for the continued ban. They say only 49% of workers accepted the vaccination when it was offered through a recently concluded federal program. 73% of residents agreed to receive the doses. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org. C19 is supported by Hartford HealthCare.
Here at WSHU, we think local news is important. We're glad you think it's important, too. Thank you for your support, and thank you for sharing our podcast with your friends.
I'm Charles Lane.
And I'm Sabrina Garone. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you.